Spellcaster Media presents.
And welcome to episode 130 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast. Podcast all about the spookiness of theme parks, films, and beyond. I'm your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And in this very episode, I come to you live on location from the Raleigh Crump. It's kind of a cute story museum exhibition at the Oceanside Museum of Art. Opening reception with Raleigh Crump in attendance. That's a mouthful, but that was the name of the event. Raleigh is, of course, a Disney legend who worked with Walt Disney and created some of the theme park attraction designs that we know and love, and some that didn't get built that we wish did, like the Museum of the Weird, but also contributed It's a Small World, the Tiki Room, and so much more. It's a display of all of his art. And not all of his art is Disney art. Some of his art is adult in nature. I guess that's the best way to say it. So while there is no profanity on this episode, there's some discussion of that. So just, you know, be aware. If you got little guys around, little guys and gals. There is a bonus episode that relates to this event that up on our Patreon page. Some things had to be cut because they were... little off topic and maybe not so family friendly, maybe a combination of both. I don't know, but it was so good and entertaining and fun that I felt, oh, this needs another home, even though I cut it out of this show. But you can find that at patreon.com/creepykingdom. If you contribute to the Patreon at any dollar amount, you'll have access to this episode and other things that are in the works that will be debuting soon. I know I said that last episode, but they're coming. Either way, you can get that bonus episode. But enough about bonus episodes and other things. This is what's going on right here. This is an episode that is exciting all within itself. You'll hear a little bit at the beginning of the opening of the reception, including a few words from the man himself, Mr. Raleigh Crump. Then I chat with a few people that were in attendance, including Jeff Heimbuch, who co-wrote Raleigh's autobiography, It's Kind of a Cute Story, in which this exhibition is based upon. So without any further ado, let's begin.
And I think it's a well-deserved retrospective, and we are really thrilled to have Bob Self here, who is the one who brought the idea here and curated the exhibition. We love having you here. We are so thrilled to be showcasing and opening this event tonight. It doesn't stop here. It runs through February, so if you don't have your name on our e-blasts, go to our website, sign up so that you can be part of everything that's going to happen between now and February. And without further ado, here is Bob Self, and we are so thrilled.
Thank you, Maria. Thanks for coming. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but really, thank you for coming. And there's a few people I want and need to thank, obviously, Raleigh, for a lifetime's worth of incredible. As someone who's profoundly impacted, I'm an article publisher and promoter. I have never had a bigger influence on my life than Disneyland itself. The place literally, for me, was it's where most of my dreams were born. And it's funny, clocks rolling and clocks and twirling things. I mean, my childhood, watching out front of the tiki room, that water god with the tipping bamboo clock, hearing the tick-tock of that big face on Small World as a child, watching those clocks tick away the seconds in that magical place was stunning to me. And to think that someday I'd be standing beside the man who is responsible for them, with how many clock ticks between now and then? How many times has that bamboo thing gone? How many times has that head turned? It's just amazing, Rolly. Thank you for everything you've ever done for me and everybody in the room.
Getting me into this big mess. It's been a ball, and I couldn't be happier with how it turned out. That's 50 years of work in there, and I kept all that damn stuff all these years. So who the heck am I thinking about? He's been a delight to work with, and he's been great to work under and for. Thank you.
So a couple other things. For those of you that don't know the complete huge story or the many of them, there is really created an autobiography with Jeff, who is in the house. Pronounce your last name for me so I don't do it wrong.
Heimbach.
Easy enough. Jeff Heimbach is in the house. Raise your hand really high for me. Not only to give you a round of applause, the book is kind of a huge story on which this exhibition was set up. I mean, that is how we storyboard the exhibition. The book by Jeff, who was told to Jeff by Rolly, it's available in the bookstore. Rolly is not signing anything tonight, but I would guess that if you ask Jeff to sign it for you, he will. I would get a sign.
Right? Did you sign his name or mine?
A big round of applause for Jeff for making the book happen. It's a simple truth that this exhibit would not have happened the way it did without him. The wall labels, the descriptions on the panels, the content that makes the show have a context is 100% out of Jeff's hard work, and his publisher, who's here in the house also, though I don't know where, is Ryan in the room. Bamboo Forest Publishing actually published the book. Ryan is here as well. Thank you for doing it. It's in the bookstore. Buy the book. It's that simple. It is a complete guide to this and so much more. Thank you, guys. Over here, Chris Crum. Chris Crum is Rolly's son. Chris Crum did a lot of things in this room to help support the show that I could talk about, but I'm going to stick to one topic. Chris built the Tower of the Four Winds that's front and center when you walk inside. A flawless reproduction from the original plans of Rolly's Tower. It is in every way, an authentic Tower of the Four Winds. It isn't a reproduction. It isn't a piece of fan art. That is an authentic Tower of the Four Winds built by Chris as a gift to his father, the original designer of the tower. And it debuted here tonight. No one has seen it until now. You're the first. If you haven't looked at it up close, please do. Chris Crum. You know, my family, the museum staff, there's all kinds of people. I'll kick myself later for not thanking. So thanks to everybody. But I also want to mention Thomas Kuntz, who's here somewhere. Also, where's Thomas? Way over there at the hat. He's a tall guy. Another world premiere here tonight is the gypsy cart, the haunted, the spirit-infested gypsy cart over here in the room. That cart was drawn by Rolly as part of probably arguably the greatest Disneyland attraction that was never built, the Museum of the Weird, that was intended to be part of the Haunted Mansion. Rolly appeared on the Walt Disney Wonderful World of Disney television show with Walt, showing miniatures for this incredible attraction that never saw the light of day. The designs are famous. Marvel did a comic book based on the property, Museum of the Weird. And Thomas Kuntz was a master automaton builder, working under Rolly's, from his drawings, from a color palette provided by Chris, from communicating with Rolly, built an incredible miniature of that wagon as faithfully as he possibly could to those original plans. It animates, it has a ghost inside. If you haven't seen it up close, don't miss it. This is literally the ongoing legacy of Rolly Crump, the Tower of the Four Winds by Chris, and the phenomenal Gypsy Wagon by Thomas Kuntz. You have never seen anything like them. And thanks to Rolly for designing them. Thank you, Thomas, for building it. On that note, enough of my yapping. Thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting the museum. Thank you for caring. And I hope you leave with a big smile on your face. I know that that's what this man did it for. He literally did it because he likes a world where people are smiling. And you're smiling now. So let's hear it again from Rolly. Let's hear it from Rolly.
So tell me who you are.
I am Monica Horizons.
And we're here at the opening of the exhibit for Rolly Crump. What are your thoughts on the exhibit?
I adored it. I got to see it before everybody else. And Rolly was just sitting there in a wheelchair. And I go up to him, I hold his hand, and he grabs my hand really tight. And I said, thank you for all of the happiness you've ever given me. Like, between Epcot and Disneyland and your dirty art, and I love you. Apparently, he had not seen a piece of art that him and Mary Blair had worked on since the New York World's Fair, and it's made of trash and matches and just cardboard.
Where's the trash from? Was it from the World's Fair?
It was, absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
Well, wrapping up our little chat here, he told me to listen to the show.
I do. I love it. It's awesome.
So what's your favorite episode you've listened to of Creepy Kingdom?
The Haunted Mansion 2-part series. Everybody should listen to it forever. If you've ever been to Disneyland, go look at it, listen to it. Well, you can look at it because there's the stuff with like the Eeyore sign and all the little, oh God. And with the Indiana Jones stuff getting redone, just go listen, watch. Well, yeah.
Hopefully you listen already. If not, we have an endorsement here. It's not coming from me.
Nope. I'm not getting paid either. No? I'm actually getting him drunk. Dark side.
Yes. Maybe that's why this is all happening. But yeah, we're going to check out the trash sculpture and have a great time. So right on. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, James?
I'm great. Having a great time here at the opening of the gallery showing of Rolly Crump's art. I'm here with Melinda. Hello.
Hi. Wait, is that what we're here for?
Oh, what are you here for? I don't know.
The free wine, I guess.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
Is it still recording?
Oh, it's still very much recording.
Okay. We're good. We're clear. Yeah. Okay. Melinda's here for the free wine, but you just happened to stumble upon this Rolly Crump art show.
And it's unusual because I'm a fan of Rolly Crump's art.
Wow. That's unusual.
Serendipitous. That's what I'd like to say.
Yeah, things always seem to work out for you.
They always do. Yeah.
We're also here joined by David. Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going great.
I can tell you have a glimmer about you.
I'm very glimmerish. I mean, how could you not be glimmerish at such an amazing art show as this?
It shines at every turn. This is an amazing show, in fact.
In fact, people are screaming yes behind us at the wonderful art that's displayed on the walls. Yeah.
You can't, listeners can't see it, but the people are just screaming for excitement out of this amazing art. So, what are your thoughts about some of the pieces? Had you seen everything here before? Are some new pieces that caught you off guard?
I was not expecting to see Josephine Baker's pubic hair this evening, but I did. It was artistically rendered and beautiful.
It's interesting that you weren't expecting that, but okay.
Yeah.
It was interesting. There was, in fact, a room there that was set aside for naughty paintings. That was the whole idea.
Right.
But the paintings of Josephine Baker, which were naughtier in many respects than some of those, were set out here.
It kind of shows you what... It's pretty subjective what's naughty and what isn't, right?
Yes. And which bodies are naughty and nice,
right,
and so forth, which I thought was pretty interesting in a lot of ways. But it was wonderful to see the miniature model of the Tower of the Four Winds. which seems to have been based on the tower as it was built.
Mm-hmm.
It's built on those proportions as opposed to Rolly's original proportions,
right.
Which was it was a far more elegant structure as Rolly had designed it and as the original model had been built. I would so love to see that built. But this was a magnificent little model.
Right,
it was really wonderful.
That's interesting because on the little speech they gave, they said the opposite of that, that it was based off of Rolly's drawings. But you're saying that this was based off of what was actually built, the model that's here.
Well, it looks to be the same size, or rather the same proportions of the final tower. But if you look at the tower that appears in, say, the video where Rolly appears with Walt and they're talking about the plans, it's a far more elegant structure. The turrets are very slender, they're very tall, and it's very different proportions.
Okay.
So, anyway, it was just interesting. But the result is beautiful and jewel-like. You know.
I think the same could be said of the Gypsy Wagon. It was kind of cool to see that in a physical, manifested form. The display of it was absolutely...
Did you get to see it do its magic tricks? Because it's not working right now.
It did magic?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, it does what was the... Just to clarify for the listeners, this was an extension of the Museum of the Weird, I believe, right? The Gypsy Wagon, and or part of it. That, of course, was never built. But that was supposed to do a whole bunch of magic tricks, you know, for it. And whatever it was supposed to do, that's what that model that they have here, they actually did it in miniature form.
Oh, no.
But it's currently not working. I literally just went over there a few minutes ago to take a video of it because I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
But it's currently not working. Good thing this exhibit is open. It opens tonight, which is whatever day it is, October 26th. August 26th.
Yeah,
I said October, but it goes all the way to February. So
this is good.
You have time to get that thing worked out and get it going.
But yeah, it might be worth a trip back.
Yeah.
But for me, it is to see that exhibit model, whatever you want to call it.
Come to life. My biggest surprise tonight, I had no idea. Ernie Ball strings.
Guitar strings.
There was the package design. It was Rolly Crump's work.
I didn't see that in there, really.
I've known those since I was a kid.
Ernie,
you know, and they've been
Rolly
around
designed
Ernie Ball strings, or at least the package for them. And it's beautiful. It's a very distinctive hand-drawn package.
Now that I think about it, it's very, very its style.
It is his style. Yeah. And this is great. It is... Rolly's work is just a hello life, I do love you so sort of thing, and that's why I love it. There's no darkness to it at all. Even where he's, let's say, talking about drugs, he has this series of drug posters, but it's not celebratory, it's not looking at the dark or even the transgressive side of it. It's just, hey, marijuana airlines or heroin airlines. And it was just, he's just having fun with all of it, even the darkest stuff. And the Day of the Dead is just that sort of turnaround that he does.
It's celebratory, it's very celebratory, everything.
Yeah, and so full of life, and you know, it's the facade of the of It's a Small World that really, in a way, is Rolly's, not necessarily a masterpiece, but it sums up not his single masterpiece, but rather something that sums up so much of what it is that he does.
That's true,
you know, which is just joyful, exuberant, bright and shiny and full of love.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of not... It's interesting you say all that because it's kind of... it's without compromise, but that's not the word I'm looking for here. It's without cynicism.
Yeah. It is not cynical. Yeah, absolutely. It's not cynical. And it's very rare to find that in this world right now. So to see something like this, which just is a celebration of what is childlike but still is very adult. These are built places and, you know, communicative endeavors.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lovely thing to see and to return to. It makes you happy. It's just, it's a happy making thing.
I've also enjoyed the humanity here. A lot of people came dressed in theme.
Yes.
Tiki themed, Rolly Crump themed.
So, Jeff, we're here at the opening of the show, Rolly Show. What are your thoughts on the show and the evening and everything?
I think the show is wonderful. It's really cool to see how they took the book and they made it basically come to life in this art show format. It's like basically going through the book, like as the book exists. So it's really, I mean, it's literally called the same thing as the book. It's kind of a good story. So, but it's wonderful to see how they put it all together, and I'm really impressed. I'm very happy that it was such widely attended tonight.
Yeah, this place was packed.
Yeah, there was tons of people here.
In fact, there was somebody that I know that was supposed to be here. I was looking forward to seeing them. I texted them and said, "Hey, are you still coming to this?" Didn't hear back. Then I saw a picture of them with Rolly on Facebook.
What?
Like, in this very small...
In the same places?
And I still haven't seen them.
You still haven't seen them. That's weird. That's how many people were here. There were so many here that you did not even see them.
So, yeah, this was a packed event. It doesn't seem like the typical Disney fan. Seems like I got a real art crowd here, though.
Yeah, because a lot of members of this, the Oceanside Museum of Art, came earlier for, like, the cocktail reception, the opening. I think it's a lot of residents in the town that are involved in the museum and the art scene were here more than... I mean, there were a bunch of people that drove down from, like, Burbank and from Orange County like us. But, yeah, it was definitely a different crowd than most Disney events usually entail. Because it's not a full Disney event, really. I mean, right. There's very little Disney stuff in the show compared to his wider body
of
work.
It's not a Disney show.
Yeah.
by any means. But there's, you know...
There's Disney stuff.
There's Disney stuff.
But it's not the main focus, yeah. I mean, you can see some cool Small World stuff and, like, Museum of the Weird stuff, but you're also going to see, like... naked women as well, because that's just what Rolly does.
Right. So the Museum of the Weird Stuff that's there, are those what are those, prints, or those actual drawings, or what are those?
The ones that are on the wall are I think they're copies of the drawings he made, the copies of the copies that he made, because the originals are still with Imagineering.
Oh, okay.
But he drew other ones and improved them a little bit. So I think those are just prints of those ones. But in addition to that, there's also a automaton, I don't know what to even call it, Thomas Kuntz, who makes these really amazing machines. He actually fabricated an actual gypsy cart that Rolly designed for the Museum of the Weird. And it is unbelievable.
Like, yeah, I just went to go check it out, and it's not working.
Oh, they stopped it? Did they, like, unplug it or something?
They unplugged it. He said it wasn't working, so I didn't get to see it, but I was explaining this earlier. Yeah, that was something that was supposed to be for the Museum of the Weird that wasn't built, and he actually made it happen, but in miniature form.
Yeah, miniature form. I mean, Thomas is known for his automaton things that he makes that just... do
What's
weird
his last
scene.
Name? Thomas
Kuntz. Thomas Kuntz.
Thomas Kuntz.
He actually did work for Crimson Peak. He does stuff for Del Toro a lot too.
Oh, okay.
But he loves Rolly's work, and for him to make this gypsy cart come to life is unbelievable. Like, it opened up. I mean, I know this is a podcast, you can't see, but, like, the doors would open, and, like, the Mistress of Evil, you would see it, like, in a Pepper's Ghost effect, which, to me, wow. Having a Pepper's Ghost effect in this small gypsy cart, like, how did he do that? Where's the room for all of this? Unbelievable. But he did a great job. Yeah, it looks really, really cool.
Well, this exhibit's open until February.
End of February. I forget what exact date, but yeah, it's here. You should come see it.
So yeah, if somebody is, if you're not in SoCal and you want to come out here, you're visiting Disneyland, it's about an hour away, right?
Worth the drive, though. It's worth the drive. It's about an hour, yeah.
I mean, it took me an hour from Huntington Beach, but I mean, if you're traveling here, what's an hour?
Really, what is an hour? But even to see, like, some of the original stuff that Rolly did for Disneyland, like the actual cocktail napkin that Mary Blair drew on as the original sketch for the Small World clock is in here. Rolly's original model for the Small World clock is in there. Like, for really hardcore Disney
fans. Now, this is stuff that was in his house, right?
Oh, yeah. This is stuff that was, like, literally lying around in his house for years because it's part of his collection.
Yeah.
And, you know... I've seen it, but like the rest of the world hasn't really seen it like in person. They saw it in the book, but to see it up close and see all like the nooks and crannies and like how it works blows my mind. I'm sure it's blowing these people's minds too.
For sure. That was at his house when I went over there.
Yeah, from the documentary. It was
Yeah.
The napkin was at his house, but the clock or the clock models in there was there when you were there. I forget where it was though. I don't know if you saw it then.
I didn't see the napkin.
I think it was upstairs.
Okay, I saw the model though, and you're sitting there. I was sitting there by myself, just looking at this model, just going like.
It's a piece of Disney history.
Yeah.
Walt Disney saw this thing personally and said, yes, make that. Like, that's really cool. I think. It still works. It still works.
Really?
If, like, the batteries are plugged in and he presses the switch, it will actually go through the motions to, like, that he made it go through, what was it, 60 years ago now?
Really?
Yeah. 50 years ago? Yeah, it still works. It's pretty incredible. Built to last.
Apparently.
Built to last. It's a good time.
Alrighty. So how does it feel to actually walk into your book?
Very strange, honestly. Even more so because like most of the words on the wall were taken directly from the book itself. So it was cool to like see the words and like the actual artwork right next to it. Because some of this stuff I had never seen in person before. I've only seen like the photos that we use in the book. So seeing the actual ones and like seeing his pencil marks and his brush strokes and everything is just like, holy crap, this is so cool. Like, it's much cooler in person than just, like, the photos are cool, but, like, seeing this here blows my mind. Blows my mind.
Wow. So, do you know why this particular venue decided to have the show here?
Because Rolly is kind of connected in this area. Like, I would say, like, 10, 15 years ago, he was doing like the Oceanside art walks, and he had his own little booth and he was selling some of his original paintings.
Oh, okay.
And in the back section, the Dia de los Muertos paintings were some of that stuff that were created for that.
Oh, I was wondering where those came from. I never saw those
before. Yeah, so he always had a connection to like Oceanside and the art scene here. So, I mean, just here we are now years later, you know, they had this opening in the gallery here and they wanted to show his artwork and like show his life's work. So I think that's because he had that connection from years ago, they invited him to show it off here now. And he lives close to in this area.
I know he doesn't live far, but it just, you know, it's kind of off the beaten path from like anything.
From like LA, you know? Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool, like, because this show goes till February. I think it'd be cool if they can tour it other places. Like, maybe it'll go to LA somewhere else and then go around. And I think because of all the work he's done, I think other people would find it interesting all over the country to see it. Absolutely, I think they would.
Oh, for sure. So, we'll make it happen, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not behind it. I can't do it. I think it'd be awesome if they did that, but who the hell knows if they can? Who knows? If not, I'll just enjoy it here until February. I'm sure I'll be back a couple of times to see it again.
For sure. All right, so if someone wants to get your hand, not your hands, but their hands. we've had a lot of drink tickets here.
Yes, we have. We have quite a number of drink tickets.
Their hands on your book.
Oh, we're at that point of the night, huh?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. No, you know what? Maybe we should tell that story about when we ran those people that had your book.
Oh, my God.
That was a good story.
That was a good story. Do you want to tell that story? We can tell that story.
Why not?
I threw a surprise scavenger hunt for my fiance when she turned 30, and we sent her all over Los Angeles. And James was my right-hand man for the day, traveling around with me, like, one step ahead of her, while her and James's girlfriend and our other friend were, like, with Martina trying to figure stuff out. Anyway, we wound up at the last bookstore. We were walking around in one of the art stores up there, and the guy who owns it had a Disney book, and we were chatting with him for a little bit. And then he pulls out this other book and goes, did you ever read this book before? It's really good. And it's a copy of It's Kind of a Cute Story. And I'm like, it's okay. It's all right. And then I was like, oh, let me just show you something. We're flipping, and because there's a picture of me in the back, and we showed him the picture, and he's like, wait, that's you. It was just like a weird, surreal moment. Like, he had just happened to have that book there in his personal stash.
Everything about it was weird. I just happened to notice he had some random,
like, weird Disney books.
Yeah. Like, just, you know, the kind that are like, you know, I don't know.
They were
filled with, like, third-rate information.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know? They're ones like almost like black market books that you would find. Walt Disney was a Nazi. Like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But here, I mean, I don't know what that says about our book. Who's throwing it with the rest of them like that?
He was like, I got the Disney Nazi book. I got It's Kind of a Cute Story. I got all the great ones.
All the great off-the-beaten-path books here. Man! But yeah, that was a weird, surreal experience that he just happened to have that book too. And now here it is in full life form. It's Kind of a Cute Story. I love it. It's wonderful. I'm going to take some of these pieces home with me. Just don't tell them.
All right.
Edit that part out of the podcast.
It's our and all listener secret. Everyone's cool listens. Don't
That's
worry
true.
About it.
That's true. You guys
don't
are cool.
It.
Don't tell
we keep it cool. You know, no one narcs.
We'll have joint custody. I'll keep it for 20 years, and then you can have it for 20. A single day after that.
Seems fair.
If you remember.
What is 20 years from today?
20 years from today. So it's 2017. So 2037. We'll revisit this
August
conversation.
August 26th. All right, yeah. I'll swing by.
Okay.
All right, we're wrapping up the event. We're back with David and Melinda.
Hi.
They have taken away all the tables. The temporary bar where we were redeeming our drink tickets has disappeared, almost like magic.
I haven't had a drink.
I mean, it's kind of a cute story. How the table was taken away
bit.
From us.
A little bit. You know, they just folded it up and then they took the tablecloth off. But the way they did it was very cute.
Yeah.
So, you know, the evening's wrapping up. You got to see this art, which I assume, well, at least for you, David, I don't know if you have, Melinda, but I assume that you had kind of seen a lot of this stuff.
Oh, yes.
Beforehand.
I saw it at the 1964 yes. World Fair.
No, it wasn't me because you're old. I'm saying because you're fan level.
You brought that to this conversation.
Yeah. You went to the 64 World's Fair. Wow.
You were alive.
I did.
Did you actually go?
Yeah, we lived in Queens.
You serious? You seriously went?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But he was a child.
I was tiny.
Yeah.
I was diminutive.
That's cool.
I was wee.
I had a few years back, I had someone on the show that went to the 64 World's Fair and saw the Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln exhibit.
I have a documentary about it.
You have a documentary about...
I made a documentary about Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
What?
Yes.
How do I not know this?
Yeah, it's called Audio Animatronica. It's on YouTube currently. And it is about the attraction in its current form.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Well, this is very interesting. Let me see what I'm going to say. It's weird how you find out random things about people you're friends with.
David looks deeply concerned. He was there for the making of Audio Animatronica.
Yes.
Hey there, you listener. If you want to email us at this podcast, you could do so by emailing us at the email address creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, including the video of the documentary that Melinda did about Lincoln and the audio animatronics that was mentioned during this episode, and links to all of our social media and our articles, videos, all that fun Creepy Kingdom stuff. Guess where you need to go. Just take one wild guess. That's right, creepykingdom.com. And for that bonus episode, so if you enjoyed what you had here, we have a whole other episode full of stuff that was cut out of this episode because it was could not be contained within the Creepy Kingdom. It was too crazy, too out of control, too wild. You want to listen to that and support the show? It's real easy. Patreon.com/Creepy Kingdom. Well, until next time.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams. Ha 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 ha.